Tarma Hadaven.
What's good, Kevin?
Back at it again.
Yes.
It doesn't stop.
Back at it again with the white Vans? No? Okay.
Okay. Look, we could be. We have a mic adjustment by a super producer.
Ooh, super producer.
DJ Cashera, yes. In the building. Yeah, she comes in and out. She is nimble and ghost-like. And you don't know her hand, but her hand is in the mix. You know what I mean? Tara, how's your week?
It's good.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
Long day.
Yeah. That's every day.
It is every day, but today was hungover. So.
Hey, well, also every day is the point. Yeah.
Okay. So, well, all right, not my life anymore.
Oh, well,
because I wake up at 7:30 to write all day.
Oh, you're awesome. You're
the most writing I've ever done in my life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. But at your new writing gig.
Yes.
For
Complex.
That's true. Yes. The Flex. Yes. And the Real.
And what do you mean?
No, that's where you work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Before we introduce our illustrious guest, and yes. we do have, I feel like this is a big...
Actually, yeah, this is a big
get for us.
Big deal.
This is a big get for us. I just want to say, you know, I just left the John Walt Foundation dinner.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
You know, so today is, we're recording on February 8th, and it's a year to the day that we lost John Walt. And so I was just at dinner with his people, his family, his mom, and they have a foundation in his name. And so I just want to say, if folks are interested in supporting the foundation, it's johnwaltfoundation.org. Wait, I want to get it right. I'm looking at it, but I can't read it. It's JohnWaltFoundation.org, which is a foundation that is dedicated to support young creative people in the city of Chicago. And so what they are going to do is, essentially they create a memorial fund in John's name to give grants to young creative people throughout the city of Chicago to do their thing from multiple genres.
Super dope.
Yeah, super dope.
Super dope.
And so I want to support Nichelle, John's mom, and the whole Pivot gang, and just shout them out. And of course, on this day, remember John.
Yeah. Barber posted the Chemo Walk video, and I just have had that song stuck in my head all day.
Yeah.
I love that song.
No, it goes.
Yeah, it really does.
So, in the building tonight at WGN Radio, we have in the corner store, a true, like, that's the thing. It's like there is, you know, I mean, I have followers on the gram, but this, I mean, she is gram famous.
Yes.
Gram infamous.
Yes. She's like social media across, like, she got hella followers on,
right,
on
all platforms. Yes. All platforms.
Out here.
A photographer,
mm-hmm.
A creative director, a darling of the brand world, someone who is certainly a emerging influencer in this city and beyond. I know just got back from a lovely trip from the Dirty Apple, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But yeah, I mean, you know, so glad to have with us tonight the incredible photog Swopes.
Hi. How are you?
Good.
Thank you for that amazing intro. That was.
He's really good at the intros.
That's unbelievable. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
These are
facts. I'm merely reading from the script. But
yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to be here, and I know of you, and I know of your work, and I'm just learning about her and a lot of people here. But I mean, I thank you for asking me to be on here. I'm really honored.
No,
honestly, thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks for being here.
Vice versa. So, you know, this show is really trying just to get to know creative people in the city. And so, you know, we're really excited to have you. And, you know, if we can take it all the way back, I mean, where do you come from?
But wait, first things first.
I Papa. No, what?
Snacks.
Oh, true. Okay, yo, I continue to forget this a little bit. I know. We do have gifts for you.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. Just from Jump Street. From Jump Street. And Marlena is the snack provider.
Yes.
And so this evening,
yes.
Marlena has.
Oh, you gotta read them.
And, all right. Wait, hold up. Let me figure out Marlena's mic here right quick.
I gotta read them.
Yeah, you gotta read them.
Yeah.
Marlena.
Can't just offer without letting the people
know. So I'm getting
know.
It now, so it's conceptual.
Yes.
Store night,
you are actually in the corner
I'm
store.
Here. I like this.
My reading is not as good as Kevin's.
No, Marlena.
You just gotta articulate.
You're doing your thing.
Okay, so we got the Arizona Fruit Punch, you know.
One of my favorites.
Okay.
We got some Reese's. I don't really care for those, but
you got them anyway. That's
really?
Weird. Like,
yeah.
Yo,
I know everyone else likes.
Oh, you like them?
So.
I like Reese's. I even like those little pieces too.
Oh yeah,
all the peanut butter and chocolate combination.
True.
And then a Chicago Faith. Hot crunchy curls.
Hey.
Yes.
I'm actually really, really happy about this whole set that there's no like beef jerky or like anything that has like bovine in it because,
because I know this.
We don't want to disrespect or murder our guests. You know what I mean?
So, I'm 8 months in vegetarian. So
I think I saw you tweet about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So these are veggie friendly. Okay. So, you know, please, you know, pass them along. They are yours to have.
Thank you so much.
You could eat them all in one sitting. You could share with whoever you wish.
Absolutely.
But enjoy them, of course.
I feel like I visited the corner store.
I'm glad we have that effect.
Well done. So, all right. So now.
Yes. Now we may proceed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Where do you come from?
So I was born in St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh.
But I didn't really grow up there really much. My parents moved to Gurnee, Illinois when I was maybe about two or three, and grew up there, graduated high school there.
Where'd you go to high school?
I went to Warren Township High School.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what was it like going to high school out there?
It's close to the city. So,
or is it like north or south?
It's south.
South.
Okay. I mean, no.
Yeah,
why
north.
Am I lying?
Yeah, man, north. It's like towards
it's
Great
north.
America.
It's like even closer to Wisconsin than anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So I'm like pushing Wisconsin.
But it's also close to Waukegan,
my address was in Waukegan.
Okay.
But I went to a Gurnee school, like in that, you know.
And so talk a little about that situation, because Waukegan I've always found to be a very interesting suburb of the city that in some ways mirrors a lot of things in the city.
Right.
And so as a young person, who was there? Who did you grow up around? What did people do for work? What did your parents do for work?
So I was actually homeschooled from a young age. I went to kindergarten. It's very vague. I went to kindergarten for like a few days, and then my dad, he's a teacher. So he taught me and my brother at home. And I actually learned graphic design at home from when I was like a super kid, like 9 or 10 years old. I didn't start going to school maybe until I was like in, I think it was fourth grade specifically. It was like, I think I went to third grade a little bit, but it was very vague, like, because my dad was taking us in and out. He just believed in just educating us separately than like worldly stuff. My dad's just
super smart.
He's a smart man. Yeah. Like, he's just unbelievable. Taught me so much, and you can see a lot of him in me, like every day when I talk about it. And I'm so passionate about a lot of things. But
he's a teacher,
And he's still a teacher to this day. He works for children with behavior disorders,
mm-hmm.
And kids who are just unbelievably just messed up in every single way. And he has this patience and this passion and this love for them that other people really don't have. And I feel like I've learned a lot from that.
You have a brother.
I have a brother. He's 25.
The two of y'all?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just two of us. Yeah.
He's older.
He's 25. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's younger.
Okay.
Yeah. But my mom had me. So my bring it back a tad bit. So my parents met in college, and my mom had me when she was 19, and they kind of had to figure out, you know, along the way what their passions are and who they are and all that stuff. So for me, I kind of watched my parents grow up, which is a pretty intense thing. It kind of makes you grow up in yourself, you know,
right.
And seeing
or along with them too,
yeah,
right?
Along
yeah.
with them, absolutely. So that taught me a lot just as a human being, I think. But from since I can remember, art has just been a passion to me. Everything about computers has just always just driven me and so
did your family like have a focus on art, or your dad when he taught you?
No, none of my parents do art. I mean, no one in my family really does art that I can think of.
Well, how did you get into graphic design when you were?
So my mom brought home one of those like big Apple computers with like those blue backs on the back. And there was this program called KidPix on there and it was very basic. It wasn't like Photoshop or anything, but this very basic, like kid friendly kind of like graphic design thing. And I started making like graphics on there, and my mom would like very limit me for like my timing on the computer, but I'd try to sneak on there as much as possible just to make some stuff. But then eventually my mom moved to Chicago, and then me and my brother moved with my dad to Gurnee. And my dad actually bought me my own computer that had like Photoshop and Illustrator and all that stuff. And that's also something that's, I think, helped me along the way, is my parents have always been so behind me being a creative with you know, design and everything. So like without that, I probably wouldn't be as passionate as I am today. But I know for a fact that There has been moments where they've been like, okay, what are you doing?
Right. Parents are always like that, though.
Right, right.
Absolutely. But it's a blessing to have, you know, a support system like that from the get-go.
That's amazing. I mean, I feel like that's rare, maybe.
Yeah. It is really rare. It is. I mean, I've had mess-ups, and I was going to say fuck-ups, but I've had, you know, I've had those in between that where, of course, my parents have, like, questioned me and been like, okay, what, you know, like, you need to be on the right track, especially when it came to going to school at Columbia and had dropping out for so many years that, they were just like, you know, it's hard to tell friends and family that your daughter is dropping out when they really don't understand what she's doing. And I can't really tell them, you know, about Instagram or design or anything like that. Because when you think about the art world, they're like, okay, you're going to fail, you know, you're going to fail.
So. Right. Yeah. Well, I have a question. So you were homeschooled. What was it like, you know, then coming out of that and going to school with other kids and have, you know, was it a hard transition?
And when did that happen?
So it happened, I mean, My dad and my mom always let us like go outside and like hang out with the kids in the cul-de-sac. I was always very friendly and like cool with people. Yeah, we were never like, and plus I had a lot of cousins, like a ton. My dad's side, I think he has like 6 brothers and sisters or 7 maybe. I'm horrible.
I mean, that's a lot of people to keep track of.
That's a lot of people,
like,
and I think
you know, to keep it fair.
Yeah, exactly. But
you know,
I think I have about like 98 cousins, like 7.
Okay, that's quite a few.
And we have like family reunions where everyone travels out and it's like a big event. I mean, there's like a lot of people. So, for me,
that's a conference. I just want to say that.
It's
a conference.
It's not even a function.
No. That's, you need to register.
It's
you
like
need
a
to get
summit.
Tickets. You
it's
get
a
you get a wristband.
Like,
and shit. Yeah.
Like,
there's
literally.
An after party.
Right.
Well, it doesn't help now that I'm like the face of Swopes now because my dad's last name is Swopes.
Oh,
so you know when they go on Instagram or Twitter or they see this verified Swopes, it's like, okay, that's the one that's like doing everything for our family and like being the face. So, but they're proud. They're like so excited. But
that's great.
When it came to being young and going back into school, it was easy. I actually was put in accelerated math classes and science classes, which was surprising.
Dope.
And so
I feel like I always see that, like, on TV I see kids like going back from, you know, homeschooling into like the world, and they're all, you know, not with the shits sometimes.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm telling you, I think I was just lucky with a really good parent.
Yeah,
You know, support system.
And you don't, I mean, you seem like a social person.
Naturally.
You know, you're very nice. Yeah, so.
And both of my parents are, too. They're just like that. So,
So Warren Township High School is different than Waukegan High School.
It is, very.
Right? And so in sociodemographically, it's different. So what is some of the difference, and how did you navigate some of those spaces?
So, to be specific in how I would even maybe even know is because I actually used to be a cheerleader for the Waukegan Chiefs for their summer football thing.
Yeah.
So when it so when it came to seeing, I mean, it was a clear difference.
Do you
want to
do?
I mean,
do you remember any quick cheers?
I'm half black and no, not anymore. No,
you can get it for the gram. You know.
Right. Okay.
I used to be on Palms too, which was
right.
my real.
That's
love.
The more like serious.
I like
dance
dancing.
Squad. Oh
yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah,
like,
I played ball in high school, and we always thought the Palms were like, you're like, yo, you're mad serious.
Yeah.
And the cheerleaders were like,
right. They just have fun.
They're
like, we practice. Like, we're doing stuff.
Y'all are athletes.
Yeah.
Cheerleaders are athletes, too. Let's not get it twisted.
What's the difference? Like, you do stunts
One's
and stuff?
Dancing, crazy style, and then the other's just, like, doing, like,
Palms is dancing.
Palms is dancing.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Swopes is throwing her hands in the air, waving them like she just don't care.
Y'all have, like, little palms?
We,
I don't know what those are.
We kind of did have little things.
Pom poms.
Well, I mean, cheerleaders have those too, right?
Well,
we had things.
Oh, okay, yeah.
We had like props and stuff.
Yeah.
You were saying, I interrupted you. You're about to talk about like who you be.
The nuances of poms.
We got way off. That's my bad.
No, you're good. So I'm half black and I'm half white. And being like from a household with a black father is, and specifically growing up, I mean, most of my young life I grew up with my mom, but my dad was always there. But for the rest of my growing a little older, where I was kind of becoming like really myself, was with my dad, and it kind of brought me into an understanding of what it's being like as a black man in America. And I would always listen to him and just understand him and have compassion and empathy for that. So when I think about the difference between Warren and Waukegan, it just I mean, it's obviously okay. The race.
Yeah, so.
Waukegan being.
Waukegan is just black people. Okay. And not to say that Warren didn't have, I mean, we obviously had a huge black percentage of students, but it was just, there's just like a different popularity status. Like for at Warren, there was like, you know, white people and white girls with blonde hair, and they're all getting drunk and having parties and making you feel like shit about your differences. When in Waukegan, I was celebrated for, you know, being different and being black. And
so you went just, to both?
So I didn't go to Waukegan High School. Oh, okay. But for being a cheerleader in the summer league, I met a lot of people from Waukegan and still have friends who went to Waukegan. I just felt, I don't know, it's just, there's just a difference. There's right, a clear difference in the day. So,
and can we can we break that down a little? Because I think this isn't that long ago.
Yeah, it's not.
And so, just some of the what were, you know, some of the white folks in a near north suburb of Chicago saying about race not too long ago that I imagine they still continue to say to this day.
This has been a lifelong situation that I've dealt with. Being half black and half white is that I'm never enough for either side. And I've dealt with that. And when I talk about, you know, white people not accepting me, maybe it's also black women not accepting me as well. And there's this idea of colorism on both sides where, like, I just can't really, you know, like, where do I belong? And there's no culture for a mixed person at the end of the day, and if I hold on to one either culture, it's just like I'm wrong, you know. So
right.
I've always felt like this sense of like where do I belong, and I still feel like that. But that's where it comes into play, where like people are like, well, who are you inspired by, who, like, you know, made you who you are, who's your like hero or your heroine? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't really don't know, because all along the way there hasn't been a book, there hasn't been anyone who I can be like, yo, like, how do I do this? Like, how do I go? But I just, I can't, like, my dad's a black man. My mom's a super white woman with, like, green eyes and blonde hair. Like, who do I go to be like, what do I do?
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So, I don't know. It's all been a very humbling, but also, like, just intense situation. And it still happens my whole life. I still feel like this. I still do.
When people meet you, do they assume you're white or?
No. People think I'm Asian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Filipino.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
That, yeah. Huh.
But it depends on the person.
Right, yeah.
If they talk, if they hear me talk, they're like, oh, you're black.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what it is, but they just, I don't know, they get it, you know. So, yeah.
So when did you start, so it sounded like very early on you were utilizing technology to also engage in the visual space.
Yeah.
And when did you begin to know that this was something that you were in love with?
Well, I've had my first website when I was in sixth grade.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
And
that seems very advanced.
Yeah.
Or?
Did you design it?
And I remember going to my dad's room and being like, Dad, I need money to buy a website. And I was trying to explain to him like FTP and like all this like,
right.
like HTML stuff.
He was like, what's a website?
Like, yeah. And I was like, I just need $20, because websites are so cheap kind of to actually host.
Yeah.
Like, even at that time, $20 was kind of
a lot.
What
was it, a GeoCity?
Well, I don't really remember the specifics.
How
but,
did you knew because you had a computer and you were just like surfing. You had internet at the crib and you were
right.
just like out here.
Right.
Surfing.
Yeah, I was surfing the web, but we had limited amount of time, and I also had like I had a stepbrother at home, and I also because my dad had remarried at the time, and we had to like have certain timing on the computer without beating the shit out of each other. So
sure.
my brother was kind of the same age as me. We're 2 years apart, and so it's just could be a lot of drama at the end of the day when it came to the computer. So when I got my time in, I was just trying to like build, but. So yeah, I built my first website in sixth grade, and that was it. All it had was like pixels that I made on like Illustrator and Photoshop, and it also had like tutorials for other people to like make their own websites.
That you made?
Yeah.
Hey. Mm-hmm.
Also, so helpful. Also, teacher. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, it's in my blood, and I still do it to this day. When people ask me, they're like, "What's your next step?" and like, "What do you want to do?" Like, "What's your next project?" I'm like, "I don't know. I just want to inspire people. Like, that's it." Like.
You definitely do that.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
We could talk more about that.
Yeah
but you absolutely do, you know, stay doing that, of course.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow. So that's advanced. So sixth grade, you get the Young website.
Yeah. And then since then, I think I kind of got into like it started getting into like Zanga.
Yes,
like all those,
Zanga.
Like, yeah, because
yes.
I was like designing and like, you know, all that kind of stuff. But then
it's a journal though, you know, you were in there writing.
Right. Yeah. I was writing, but it was silly stuff.
I know, but that's what Zenga was.
Right. But it was more for me about like designing my space.
Yeah.
And
right.
then, well, see, now I say designing my space. Hey. So then we get into my space where then I started designing. Like,
are you still in touch with your top eight or?
Nope. Actually, maybe a few. Actually, I maybe texted recently. Okay. Maybe, but it depends on what time they were in the top eight.
Fair.
Things
yeah.
changing.
Yeah, it was mobile. High mobile.
School, you know, things happen. So, but so I started making HTMLs and websites for friends in high school, and I remember this girl
making some money off that.
Well, no, it wasn't cash. It was McDonald's cheeseburgers.
Okay, yeah. That's the hustle.
That's early Bitcoin.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
McDonald's right, you know? Cheeseburger. I mean, yeah, that's a little known fact, but
a real talk. There was this girl. I remember her mom used to bring her like the best lunches in school, and I was so jealous. I was like, yo, her mom gets to bring her lunches like McDonald's and stuff every day. She doesn't need to eat the crappy hot lunches, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then like she's like, oh, Lisa, I need you to do my web MySpace, you know, make it all cool and everything. I'll give you some cheeseburgers. I'm like, let's go.
So how many cheeseburgers did you get?
I don't know. It could have been recurring. It could have been repetitive over like a few days.
Yeah.
The cheeseburgers on deck.
Yeah,
it was cheeseburgers on deck.
Wow.
Yeah.
Also, so. I hope that young woman is still alive from that diet.
And still giving people cheeseburgers.
Or what? Just
if that McDonald's diet can't be healthy.
Well, it's a Donald Trump diet, right?
I hope she's good.
Okay. Salutes to her. I guess I'm wondering when you also, because obviously the world of the computer is, you know, you are looking at a screen.
Mm-hmm.
When did you begin to look at the outside visual space and be like, oh, these things are beautiful or these things are interesting?
From a photographer aspect?
Sure, yeah.
But wait, how did you shift from graphic design to photography? Yeah.
So I was kind of interested in photography kind of in MySpace, kind of, but it was more about like selfies and like how to do portraits
of
myself,
like the MySpace
angles. Yeah, but I was like doing them like cool, like designed, and like I would like set up a tripod and stuff like that. Like I was obviously there was something there, but it wasn't like how like when I got into Instagram, where like to be honest with you, when I got on Instagram, it was very early days, one of the first few users, but I wasn't posting like art. It was like selfies and like pictures of like homemade mac and cheese that I was making and like cats.
That's like everyone's if you scroll all the way to the bottom.
Yeah. And then it wasn't until like after a little bit that I started catching on to like different iPhone photographers on there, who like Cole Rise or like a few other people.
Wait, when is this?
2011.
Oh, okay.
And you would say this is in the early days.
Very early Instagram. Like it was like cool community of like dope people, and like no celebs were on there, and it was like very basic and like it was chronological.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I miss that very much. Yeah.
So, but
But you started, so you, mm-hmm. you started to find that you began to be interested in photography mm-hmm. via the phone?
My phone, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I heard that was one of your things. Like, mm-hmm. I want to talk about tools that you use.
Yeah, of course. I have a lot.
Right. And the phone is, mm-hmm. is one of the big ones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, so I started off shooting a lot with the phone, and it was like everything. I mean, I shot everything with my phone. As of recently, not so much. It's a little more difficult to now that I'm so well processed with the camera. I'm like, it's so difficult. I'm like, oh, this shot could be so dope with my Canon. You know, like it's very difficult. But I edit everything on my phone still. Every like moving image, every surreal shot, everything that you see that's like surreal, I've created on my phone.
So you have like that thing that goes, it like automatically loads to your phone,
mm-hmm.
the Wi-Fi or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so what, because that's amazing, because when you look at the, you know, the pictures you take and mm-hmm. the pictures you make, mm-hmm. it doesn't seem like you're just out here putting on a filter.
Like this, I mean, I'm
right, it's
phone,
a regular,
this
yeah.
This is literally like what I create everything with. And that's I actually crazy. Started on like, I think it was like iPhone 4 or 5, and it's like, it was like.
And you still did all those effects?
One third the size, yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I don't necessarily want you to give away secrets if you don't want to give away some.
Oh, I do, though. I do. Okay, I have a newsletter that I do every month, actually, where I do like a tutorial where I release and I just give people literally back behind the scenes of what I do. And that's also a cool thing, is I'm not one of those stingy ass people that's like, I don't want you guys to know because maybe you'll figure out how to do it and then you'll shit on me. Like, because that's not how I think.
Right.
Like, I don't think that. And even when I show people how to do it exactly, every time they do it, it's completely different and unique to them. Mm. And that's what people don't understand, is like, you can give people these tips and secrets, but at the end of the day, it's always going to be very unique to them, you know? So I have had people copy me wholesomely, but that's different now, whereas before I used to get kind of angry about it. Now I'm like, oh my god, thank you. Like,
you give it away.
Yes.
And you're, yeah,
you learn lessons about like how you feel and like how you make other people feel. It's just not good when you like be negative, so I just try to like take everything in a positive note. But that's because I've learned so much along the way on how I don't want to feel. But
so a little.
I feel like we skipped some.
We absolutely did. Yeah. But I mean, I do want to kind of just real quick before we go back a little. I do like a little BTS. Like, what are some of the joints you use on your phone for aspiring folk to edit, to take beautiful pictures?
And,
yeah.
Also giraffes.
I do want to talk about that.
But we can talk about that later.
Yeah.
So I'd first start out with having Snapseed, which is a fantastic app. I first started using it years and years and years ago when it was owned by a private person, and it was a woman, and she had actually created it, and then Google bought it from her for tons and tons of money, and so now Google has recreated it into something that's just like unbelievably amazing based off this woman's idea originally. So that's an amazing app, Snapseed.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd also go with VSCO, or other people call it VSCO. Used to be called VSCO Cam, so I'm trying not to say that, but that's
also... Oh, it goes by... Really, they changed it?
Yeah, they
changed it. Oh, I didn't know
it.
That.
It's VSCO. So that's a really great one. And then if you want to get crazy, you can go into like FilterStorm, begin to Art Studio. I mean, the thing about it is like whatever you want to do, that's... I have like 100 apps on my phone, and it depends on what I'm feeling. So there's Lens Light, there's like Circular, there's like all these different apps depending on what you want to do to your photo that you can do. So just ask me, hit me up on Twitter, like just be like, yo, I want to do this in my photo, how do I do it? And I'll be like, yo, here's a link to like an app.
Nice.
And you can even do it yourself. And you're like,
you feel like you're that approachable on the internet?
Yeah. Like, people DM me all the time about their life. Like, people like we get deep, like, in my DMs, like real talk, like, because I'll send like some, I do, and this is all about, and it just gets very deep at the end of the day, but I know how it feels to be like really sad and like lost in yourself and like feeling really negative and like consumed by like what everyone else is doing. So for me, at the end of the day, I just don't want other people to feel like that, because I have so much empathy in my heart. Like, I truly do. Like, and sometimes I hate it because I wish I could just stop caring about people, because it can be like very tiring.
Well, that's the thing about social media too. It's like,
it can be. Yeah. And I'm always reaching out to people who like tweet like sad stuff. I'm like, yo, like, I'll send them DM and be like, are you okay? And that can be like tiring sometimes, but like, that's like the person that I am, you know?
That's dope.
And how do you take care of yourself? Take care of yourself in that way?
I have become like a journal. Like, I journal every morning.
On Zenga, or are you?
You know what? If I could find my old Zenga, that'd be
exist?
So lit.
No, I feel like that's right.
Yeah,
I wish I could find it so bad.
What was my username?
What was it?
Young Noodle Cup.
I have no idea. Mine must have been like XO Oreo Cookie or something. I swear to you.
Right? Like
thing.
Your screen.
Or like Nelly Lover or something.
Right?
Nelly Lover?
Bro, I just
hey, listen.
It's like the AOL screen name.
I don't even want to talk about him anymore.
That's the one subject I would not talk about.
He let me down.
Hey,
oh, definitely. Yeah.
Shaking my head. Anyway. So yeah.
Well, you want to go back though?
Yeah, a little bit. All right. So I guess
college?
To from high school to college. So mm-hmm. you left Warren mm-hmm. and you came to
Columbia College, Chicago.
And you moved to the city.
I moved to the city. I did not live in the dorms. My mom, like I had mentioned earlier, actually had already been living in the city.
Oh,
so
right.
I actually moved with her and in Wicker Park. In 2008.
Hey.
And then I started at Columbia for broadcast journalism.
So were you coming to the city a lot before they see your mom? Or?
Yeah, I was coming like all the time.
So you're kind of used to it.
Yeah, and I was dating someone at the time too who lived in the city, and I would always like sneak and like get my dad's van and like drive out there, but they'd always catch me like sneak into the city because I'd use like that Illinois like thing.
The, I told
the
system,
the
yeah.
iPads. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they'd be like, I saw you went through the city thing. I'm like, oh,
not
shit.
Low at all. Yeah.
Yeah. When will she learn?
I know. So messy.
Right. Just should have paid cash.
I know, right? Get them coins, girl.
We'll talk. But so I started for broadcast journalism. I did horrible my first year. I literally failed every class.
Were you going to go into radio? What were you going to do?
I wanted to be on TRL. Okay. I wanted to be like a VJ or something.
That's a real.
But they canceled TRL that year, I think, or something. Like, something happened.
Bringing
it was just
back.
Like done.
Yeah.
They brought
back,
it back. Yeah.
Raven,
yeah.
Was
Raven was on
it.
Today.
Yeah.
Raven was on today. Hey. Yeah. Shout
crazy.
Out to her.
Yeah.
This is cool. That's like iconic. Like, yeah. It's like, dope. Oh, I went on TRL. That's what I'm going to do. Anyway, so.
It's not
I just
too late.
Thought about
it's
something.
Not too late.
No, it's not because there's a connection, but I can't talk about it.
No. Just make it happen.
Yeah,
and
make
I can
it
see
happen.
It. I
no,
can't
but
wait.
Yeah. I have secrets, but I want to tell you guys, but I can't, but you'll find out.
Okay.
I'll tell you like off the air.
Wow, okay.
I'll
all
tell
right.
you off the air.
All right.
You just can't tell me. It has something to do with MTV.
People are going to yeah. slide and be like, what did she say?
I know, right? What is she working on? I need to be a part of it.
This is good stuff. So the Columbia thing didn't work. I dropped out for 4 years. After that. And mm-hmm. between that time, I actually became a rapper.
Oh, what? What?
Did you miss that in the...
Yes. Yes, we did miss that.
I think you did.
Yes.
I had a music video. They played it on like Shade 45.
Okay.
I mean, it was like a big thing.
Yeah.
Yo,
let's
I mean, I was in
go.
Treaty Crew. I was like the only female in
yes.
Treaty Crew.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
okay.
Shit.
Mm-hmm. And you went by Swopes?
I went by Swopes.
Okay.
Oh, so it's
and
been like that.
You have bars.
I had bars.
Mm-hmm.
And I spit, and I was out here.
Okay, but how did you get into rap?
So I
also I just want to say that she dead in the eyes. She's like, yeah, I'm out here. I got
yeah, I know, right? Dead in the, she was really scared.
Right. I was
it
like,
was gonna
I, was,
be, I mean,
I got shook.
It was gonna be a thing. Like I was kind of afraid a little bit because I wasn't like ready, kind of like because I felt like it was gonna be like because my first kind of thing on actually my first picture on the gram was actually a screenshot of me traveling to South by Southwest. And that was after I had dropped my first record.
Called?
Drugs.
That's amazing.
It's so good.
Can you rap something from it? Like a verse or the hook? Or do you need to look it up on your phone?
It's been so long.
I mean,
it's
if you remember,
like
you remember.
Four plus
you know?
Years.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay, here we go. Twist a blunt, light a joint, smoke a bowl, it's whatever. It's me, my drugs, my hoes all together. Cause Swope's so dope, I gotta speak in third person. And me and Suli cut beats like surgeons. So good, so baby, what's her? You roll around town, but let's get it understood. When you roll up with me, everything drop. That means all them calls from them bitches better stop. I provide you with a chance to reflect. I'm not only right here, but I'm next. Here's Molly, so go and bite down and listen to me rapping to a really tight sound. It's SWOPES. My crew, my boo, my weed's the best. So ahead of my time, you can't see me yet. But the last thing you ever see is me be stressed.
Yo! Fuck it up! That was amazing. Literally, that was so amazing. Can your next, like... your second win be rapping or can you just start again?
I know. We gotta be patient.
That would go crazy. That was crazy.
Yeah.
We gotta be patient.
That was amazing.
Heads are ready and not ready at
Yo,
all.
My head is rolling.
I know.
What?
Yeah, like, yeah. Tara left the building. She jumped out the seventh floor.
I was
WGN.
Like floating above.
No, it was amazing. You left your body.
Out of body
experience. Body, yeah, your body was a carcass. Your soul was looking down.
I don't exist. That was amazing.
Okay. All right.
Multi-talented Swopes out here.
Thank you.
She really was out here when she looked you dead in the eyes.
No, I know.
Dead ass.
She was like, what you thought it was.
She was like, don't fucking question
you
me.
You already know.
I'm out here. Anyway.
So great. I'm glad I just spit that perfect.
I know.
Because it's been
that
so
amazing.
Long.
But
it
you
was
were
so
like,
long.
You were like, I don't know it. You knew all.
I know. I got scared. I'm not going to lie.
For,
I got scared.
For like a half second, she's like, I don't. And then she go
it's
right
like,
went in.
It's like riding, what is it, getting back on
yeah,
a
you just,
bike
yeah.
or whatever
right.
the fuck.
Yeah. I mean, that's how I am with that with driving,
it's like swimming
too.
With sharks.
Yeah. Right, like I don't drive ever.
Getting on a horse? I don't know.
Yeah. So when I get in a car, I remember kind of.
Right?
So you. So you're a rapper.
Yeah.
Okay. And so those 4 years, you were, what were you doing? What was your rap life like?
Well, it really wasn't rap life technically. I mean, I was recording stuff for Treaty Crew. I was recording stuff for myself. I was working with Nez and Rio a lot. Yeah, that'd be great. I don't know, Suleiman. I was working with Mano and Mike Terror. Oh, and a lot of dope people like that. And they were just producing a lot of stuff for me.
Did you drop a tape?
Really supportive. I did not drop a tape. I had some stuff on SoundCloud.
Does it exist still? Sound.
Yeah, it does. Hey. You can find it. You can see all the music videos, too, on YouTube, too, and whatever.
About to Google that.
Yeah, go for it.
Out here.
Have fun. That's music also, video's dope, too.
That's a great era of Chicago music, too. Mm-hmm. So what years is this?
It's like probably like more than 6 years ago, so.
Right. Right. Yeah. So this, because that, I mean, that's
a was like right around when, you know, shit started really.
Yeah, and Trita Kerr was dope and they had the hats and Jay-Z was wearing it. Like, that was that
shit.
Oh, shit. Like, that was that shit. Yeah. So we had like, it was cool.
The Trita Kerr was the hat that Juggernaut, who did that hat?
Yeah, they made the crown. Yeah. They made the silk, the silk crown.
Yeah.
And people went wild for
people
it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like really weird. Yeah. But I was with it.
Yeah. Like, oh, no, that's a great era.
But then it was just, I was also, I was dealing with like a lot of unhealthy things at the time too. I was like super addicted to Adderall, which we can get into too if you want to talk about, you know, my actual personal life, because
those things
really added up. I mean, I went to like a psych ward for a while, for like a week, where I quit Adderall and I literally thought I was going to kill myself. And that was a really, really serious turning point for me. And that's when I kind of was like, okay, I need to like take a step back. And that's where I kind of dropped out with Trita Kerr and dropped off the rapping and everything, and just went back to my mom's house and just cleansed myself for a
while. 2 years ago? When
was this? No, this was like six.
Yeah. Oh, like at the beginning, kind of. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so who at that time, because that's obviously a lot to go through, and if you're in a psych ward and if you're going through all of that.
It was scary. It was weird.
Yeah. How did you had people around you?
I mean, I had my mom. I had, you know, my mom, I remember calling her and be like, I need you to come get me, like, right now. Like, because I just don't feel safe by myself at all. Like, it was really a dangerous situation. Like, very, very seriously. So she picked me up and brought me to the hospital, and they had me an intake. And I don't know. I mean, I was inside a psych ward with people who were just really fucked up. Like, on every level, where I just felt like I just was in the wrong place, you know? Like, I was getting clean. I wasn't crazy, you know? Like, so that was, like, the difficult part, where I had, like, my roommate in my room was actually this woman who would, like, wake up in the middle of the night and, like, stand over my bed and stare at me and shit.
Don't
and
you
she
feel
never
unsafe?
Talked. It was just the weirdest thing. Like, there was just that in itself was such a hard, sobering like wake-up call, you know, but you also feel like a lot of pain from that, because you're like, you just feel like you're like a throwaway in this, like, this, you know, garbage bin, and you're just like, does anyone really give a fuck? Like, no one actually ever even asked me about it, really. Like, I don't even really talk about it, but unless I get into it like this with people, and they'll be like, wow, I didn't even know you went through that.
So how did you, because even calling your mom seems like a step towards self-preservation.
It was. And that's the thing, too, is I always have known what I'm not supposed to do. But I just have like a very addictive personality when it comes to drugs. So I just have to know that I can't do them. I can't do them.
So
I can't.
Are you sober?
I am sober. I smoke weed. Like, that's my I love that, and it calms me. It like does me well. Like, and it would be nice if we can just have it medicinal, so I can go in a shop and get the shit I actually need for my soul,
Listen,
my heart. You know,
although I did just see the THC clinic at Roosevelt in Western. I was very surprised to see
that.
What's
that thing in Logan? Like, next to Emporium, isn't that a shop?
Feel like they have a few
there is on, you're There's right few, on, yeah. on Fullerton yeah. yeah
I don't know what yeah I don't know how but you access
hopefully
things, but
well yeah, yeah. You know,
and plus and then I also had a whole
doctors.
Stint with Xanax too, which was really fucked up. I mean, I was prescribed Xanax for my doctor
and like, was
I started
after?
Overing this is like 2-3 years ago and that was really bad, but I got clean from that, like, and I had to just stop. I had this moment where I was at my house and my friend Jackie came over and we did shrooms, and that was the day I stopped smoking cigarettes. That was the day I ever stopped doing Xanax. I just had this like
epiphany.
Epiphany.
Yeah.
And I was
shrooms
like, and I'll be honest, I like doing them at least once a year just to hit reset on my life and know who I am again.
That.
I think it's really, it's not for everyone, obviously, but I think if you're mentally there and you're ready to be like real with yourself, I think it's really good for you. It is.
You know, that's what one of my mentors, who was a Catholic monk and a Hindu sunyas, he lived in both monastic traditions of Hinduism and also Catholicism. Once a year, he would go and to Seattle and do mushrooms and sit on the rocks and so look at the ocean and seals and just kind of check in with himself as a kind of spiritual cleanse.
He'd do it by himself?
An opening. Yeah, he would do it by himself. It was like him and the seals. This was a very like super connected dude, Brother Wayne Teasdale. But yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think people have written and thought about this and talked about this a lot, is that if you are in the right space, you know, these kinds of you know, drugs can be an opening.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, I don't really go out as much as I used to. I just stay to myself. But not in a hermit type of way. Just, I know what's important to me now.
That comes with age, though, you know?
It does. Oh, my God.
I feel you on that.
I cannot wait to be 30. I just turned 28 in December on the 19th. And I'm just, I loved my 20s because they taught me so much. But I'm like, I can't wait for that confidence in knowing myself and knowing from all the failure and lessons that I've made, and I can't wait to make more failures and lessons, because those are like the things that changes you and makes you better as a person.
So. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I think I want to go into the visual space a little, and so from that time where you were, you know, rapping to, you know, figuring your stuff out, when did you begin to kind of see yourself in a new light in this way as a visual artist or an artist in the visual space?
So, I had kind of done a few like covers for people, and
like music covers.
Okay. Yeah.
And, you don't know at this point. She could be, you know, be
know,
covering
be
music.
Right, exactly.
Right. She'd be like, yeah, right.
But it's like you're doing all these things simultaneously, you know?
Like, and raw, just like stays raw.
And you're just like good at it all.
Right.
So it's like,
look,
my work at the time,
sixth grade,
covers,
I'm on
my
cuties.
Yeah.
I mean, that was pretty decent, but like when I think about it, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, I know, so it's like you revisit it now and you're like, what was that?
What the hell?
Yeah.
I met my boyfriend, Trash Hand.
Shout out, super talented.
I call him Sardar. So if you hear me say Sardar, that's him. But if I say Trash, he is the same person.
You call your boyfriend Trash?
No.
Wow, damn.
I'm just kidding.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Well, I actually call him like Babe and stuff.
Okay, you know? All right. It is around Valentine's Day.
Kind of became really obsessed with like just Instagram and just the community of it. I think we found like just a really cool collective of people.
This is 2011.
Like, yeah, it's like 2011.
But a
2012.
Lot is happening. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, a lot is happening, and
That community is both a virtual community and eventually became
real life.
So how does that happen? Because I think that is a time on Instagram where I wonder if we are away from now.
No.
No?
Not for me.
Okay.
Not for me personally.
Well, okay.
I remember when Dennis was on the podcast and he was talking about how the early days of Instagram, you know, like you said, where celebrities weren't on there, mm-hmm. and, you know, they had like these in real life meetups, you know, and he made a lot of friends that way. Mm-hmm. Was it the same for you?
Yeah. There still are a lot of things like that. There are still meetups and everything, but it's just different.
The cultures
people
of
are,
Instagram has changed.
It has, because people are obsessed with the numbers rather than the actual art and the love for the art. And that's where I think people have lost the stability in Instagram, is this, it's all about monetary gain. Even though I have ad like posts and stuff, I still, at the end of the day, feel like that's my art and I'm like putting across something that I really care about. But Instagram has changed in the way that Facebook came and took it over. At the beginning, we were doing just a lot of like cool, you know, editing things. And then it became into 2013, where now brands are starting to see that these people are like kind of meaningful and
doing monetized.
Yeah.
And by these people, we mean you.
Me.
So what was who? You don't have to say company names, but if you want to, please do. How did people approach you, and what was that like?
So at first, the thing about Instagram is that we were all friends. Everyone knew each other. Even if you never met each other, you knew each other.
It was just small.
Like community, And we still know each other. You know everybody. You know, even if there's millions and billions of users now, you still remember the people who are originals. So my friend made a marketing media company called Mobile Media Lab. And they were primarily based on pitching brands for Instagram programs. And so I had a friend at New York City. That's her username, New York City. Mm. Pretty freaking amazing at that.
So, I mean, she's OG as hell.
Oh, she's an OG. Mm. Yeah. I mean, she's at millions now. You know,
in New York City, it might be trying to holler at it. They've probably tried to get that handle from her.
Oh, you know for a fact she's been offered millions, but she's made. I mean, she's a legend.
Nice.
So us being friends and me being like an off-top great person, but also a great talent, intrigued her to give me gigs. And from there, we had really like early gigs were like with like Burger King or like fruit juices or backpacks.
What do you do? When Burger King, when any of these brands approach you, what were you doing for them in this moment?
They would be like, oh, so for Burger King, there was like this, like they had new fries. They were just releasing their new crinkle fries, like this whole new crinkle fry thing, right?
Revolutionized the fry game.
Yeah.
And 85 years later.
Exactly. So they had this like giant French fry, like, or something around like different cities, and so they just wanted us to post about the fry,
and they'd pay you to post on your page.
Yeah.
And did you get any pushback at that point where people were like, yo, why are you posting about French fries?
Yeah, at first people were hating because they just didn't understand the concept. They're just like, oh, you're a sellout, you know. But the real people at the end of the day understand the concept. Is like, I'm giving you guys free art every single day of my life,
every single day,
inspiring you all the time, and you telling me that I can't put an ad here and there to pay myself.
I can't make a little bit of bread.
You don't give me anything, like. But once, and now it's different. Now people are like, I can't wait to see your ad work so that I can see what I can do and how I can push myself and to be different. Because when it came to my ad work, I was thinking from like a print perspective. I wasn't thinking like. You can even think back. There was this one thing I did, something with this juice, and I saw other people's posts and they were just putting like the juice bottle in like the middle of the street and like taking a picture of it. It's like this basic stuff, right?
Shots, and I'm just shots.
I mean,
listen, you are a rapper. You are a rapper, you know what I mean?
Listen, yeah. This is true.
Don't get talked about.
This is true. But so for me, when I thought about this juice, I'm like, I want to do something crazy. Like, and so I ended up like pouring the juice in the lake, and then I made the lake the juice.
Oh,
and
it
was
it
like fucking crazy. Yeah. And everyone was like, either like, this is fucking gross, or everyone was like, this is amazing, you know. But it was like so different than everyone had ever done because it was just completely new, you know, and graphic design, you know, and everyone's just like, so
how does your like graphic design play into
it? Does, but get this. So with that post, it was actually on the news in New York
because it was so dope.
So you got
it had 400 comments and like 10,000 likes.
Damn.
And that's like huge for a promoted post. Like, and like, but got people talking, and that's what it's about. It's like not about this basic, like, let's get the idea across. Like, let's have 50-50 efforts where I'm like creative, but you're also trying to get your idea. It's like they're asking me for a reason. I'm not just gonna listen to them and not fight back.
Yeah.
So that's what I've done this whole time, is just keep fighting these brands and using my voice.
And so how do you do that? Because I feel like as a creative person, when you're talking and facing brands, corporations, they're constantly wanting to, you know, they come in with their own idea.
They do, yeah.
And so how are you, you know, emboldened enough to be like, I hear what you're saying. Right. That's not what you want to do.
You trust yourself.
Right.
Because you know that you're good at what you do and you love what you do. And those people don't do that.
But doesn't like an element of trust come with it, because they see like you're successful and
right. You just have to not have fear in saying what you believe, because like literally 90% of the time they'll come back and be like, yo, that's dope. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, I'm telling you, it's kind of nuts. And all they want is just to hear your creative ideas, because they literally have none. These people don't have Instagrams. They don't have millions of followers. They have no idea. These people who work for these companies have no idea about what they're actually creating. Like, there are heads of these programs who don't even, like, do Instagram well. And that's so confusing for me. Like, how do you not have Instagrammers as art directors now at these agencies? But they're starting to catch on. Like, these agencies like Havas and, you know, stuff like that is, like, those people are getting it. They know that people who are good at social media are actually the people you should be having in your offices most of the times. But there are, you know, differences, too. Because my manager, he is just straight.
Oh, so you have a manager.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He is just good at business. Like, this man just gets it. He gets me more money. He talks the talk. He walks the walk. Like, he just does it. And when I finally had him, that's when I knew what was right and what was, like, worthy.
I have, like, three questions.
I know. Yeah. So many.
Okay, so.
We have to move fairly swiftly.
Do we? Okay.
I don't know.
I don't know. Sure. Whatever. Yeah. So, how does graphic design play into, you know, your photography?
A ton. Yeah. I mean, when I take a picture, I'm thinking, what can I do to it? Honestly.
So that's how the manipulation, mm-hmm. that's like the graphic design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
yeah.
How did you get into like the surrealism?
The surrealism was from the beginning. I was kind of just putting like animals in my photos a lot.
Yes, giraffes.
Like, yeah, okay. Yeah. So I was putting giraffes in my photos. But
like, why
putting,
giraffes?
Like giraffes is a thing with yeah. you, right?
It is now because for me, the giraffe is like this awesome like friendship love affair with my fans because they like it and I like it. And now it's like this tangible creature that like everyone's like obsessed with. And
you should do a collab with Joseph Chilliams anyway.
Who?
Let's... go.
Anyway.
He also loves giraffes. Yeah. He's a rapper in Chicago. Oh, loves
sick.
Giraffes. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that would be an ill collab. For real. That'd be...
He didn't just put out a music video for it, did he?
For giraffes?
Yeah, he did put out a music video, but
yes.
not...
Yes, but it was a riff on Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But his merch has giraffes on it.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you should make a music video with giraffes in it.
Yep.
Definitely. I mean, I get literally DMs all day of people just sending me pictures of giraffes, which I think is freaking
awesome.
Amazing
so
branding.
Fun. Yeah.
But it wasn't like an initial like, yeah, I'm going to do giraffes. Like it was like I was doing elephants and wolves and all types of different animals in my shots, but it was just the giraffe that kind of stuck.
But what is it about surrealism that, you know, you really just like
gravitate
about?
Toward? Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I think it's because I'm just bored of reality.
Mm.
If I'm like just being real, I think I'm also like an escapist, like when it comes to just like, you know, just things in general. I'm also, I think subconsciously all about so oh, is that you? Oh my god, I didn't even know that was you. He'd been tweeting me this whole time and I didn't even know he was tweeting me. I love it. I'm gonna follow you. Oh my god, I love you. That's
Dami,
so funny.
Dami out here getting clout coins.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, he's trying to collect.
Dami's the best.
Collect the whole collection.
He
is,
oh yeah. God.
You're like, oh, hey Swopes.
I like to follow people.
I also sorry. Love giraffes, me myself.
I do this giraffe just for you.
I know, bro. I know. No, I know. It's very sweet. Yeah. It's very sweet. No, Dami's that dude.
I like to meet people in person before I follow them on Twitter, too. I'm like really weird about that shit.
I feel you. I only follow people I know.
You know what also? I'm like having a problem where I like am tired of vouching for people that I don't really, really know because I'm starting to like learn more about people who are psychos and like weirdos and like doing weird shit behind the scenes. And you're like, I don't... And then people are like, thinking you're like that because you're friends with them. I'm like, I'm trying to tell people like I am not anyone else. Like I'm me. That's all you
are
need to judge
like,
me
vouching
by.
For work, like
just anything.
Mm.
Like having friends, like tagging them on Twitter, just being like, yo, like if someone like tweets you and being like, hey, I'm such a fan, you'll be like, oh my god, I love you, thank you so much. Like that in itself is like crazy because you're
a
like, oh, you know them.
Yeah.
Like it's like, but I don't know nobody.
Yeah.
You know? Now these days are just getting weird with the internet, man.
Yeah. Well, so I want to talk about 2018.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about your practice now. Mm-hmm. How often are you making stuff and how often are you posting?
It depends. I get in and out of moods. I could post literally 3 pieces in one day or I could post once like a week or once a month. Mm-hmm. It really depends because I have moments where I'm like... Like I hate everything I do. I do. Like I have moments where I like am so obsessed and inspired, and then there are weeks where I'm like I can't think of anything. Like I have no. I'm done. Like I you know I'm dead. Like that's it. I'm dope. I'm over. You know. There's no more creative. But then I know that that's the roller coaster of freelance and creativity. So now I'm like okay with that. I'm like all about dharma. You know, just the way things are,
mm-hmm.
and expect that and understand that and respect that. So now I'm just like, I'm riding that wave. Like, let's go. If I don't have like, and even with freelance, like I have like a whole week where I don't get anything in my inbox. And I'm like, nobody's hitting me. It's, you know, I'm done. And then the next week I'll get bombarded with stuff. So I'm getting okay with the changes in that mentality. But that's taken a lot of time to get okay with it.
It's an uncertain
It is.
Life.
It is.
Yes.
And people get afraid of that, but I think it's okay because that's
it's kind of a rush.
And money is in abundance in this world.
Yeah.
It is coming to you. And if you love what you do, it will come to you.
If you're
like,
good and
like,
if you
yes,
practice
yes,
and if you
yes,
keep at it, yeah.
Yes.
But how often do you make, like, create work for yourself or take photos for yourself?
Every day. And I might not even post it either.
Okay.
Like every morning, so I'll wake up in the morning, I'll write in my journal. I do this like thing called a 5-minute journal where I read like a bunch of affirmations right away. I won't even open my phone. I just read a bunch of affirmations on like how I feel in the morning, about like maybe just anything. And I'll go on Pinterest and find those affirmations. And then I'll write in my journal and I'll do like 3 things that I think it's like what I would like. What I like, and then 3 things I'd hope to happen today, or something like that. And then
every day.
Yeah, every day.
And really and for then, the day. Like, mm-hmm, I want these things, mm-hmm, to happen for the day.
Yeah, yeah. And then I write like an affirmation, like, I love myself, I'm beautiful and dope, and I'm the dope. Like, you
just wrap to yourself. You wrap to yourself.
Oh, God, like, I
gas, gas it you up, you know? It,
yeah.
So then, after that, I just do whatever, get to my emails and stuff. So that's like where I'm just...
Are you working on a project or project? I mean, I how outside of the, because I know you just got back from New York. You were, mm-hmm, doing
Adobe, right?
Adobe,
yeah,
mm-hmm, right.
That was so fun.
Yeah,
I got him at like the most talented people ever.
What did
so
you do?
The program that they're doing is called Start with Stock, and it's all about Adobe Stock program, and that is trying to have people have a different understanding of stock images. It's not just those images where people are like looking out the window from a business office and smiling weird as shit and you're like, what are they doing? Like, you know, stock images is all about also giving your images for people to use and being inspired by other people and using that, and just the cyclical, you know, reinvention of reality, but also surrealism and just everything that you can think of, because stock isn't just photos. It's also patterns. It's 3D. It's video. It's everything. And people need stocks for everything. Your favorite documentary uses stocks. Your favorite digital artist uses stocks. You know, your favorite... anything
yeah,
uses
brand,
stocks.
Every, yeah.
Yeah.
Even your favorite musician probably uses stock, you know? So it's like,
it's like
people
secrets.
Just have the notes.
Right.
Yes. So it's a secret, and it's weird, and it's like this tiptoeing thing that are like, oh my God, we can't use other people's thing. But it's like, no, so their thing.
It's kind of like samples in music, though,
yeah,
or it's kind of like, you know, exactly, any other bass line or drum line that people have already used.
But they're not going to use like stock images that other people have used, right?
How many times has Clyde Stubblefield been sampled? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think that sometimes people either have a lack of connection to creatives, or mm-hmm, maybe get a little tired,
right,
or they're like, I'm just going to grab that image from the Google.
Yeah. And tons of really big businesses use stocks in pitch decks, and it's not even in outside world.
I mean,
most stocks are actually
dialogue.
Used
that's
internal.
True. That's right.
Yeah.
Tons of times.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's huge for business upcoming for tons of people. For every genre, too. Music, anything.
Yeah, every
for
brand,
movies,
every, yes.
For the biggest movies you can think of. We had someone who came and talked to us about doing this movie about Thomas Edison, and he basically was saying that they used stock images in this awesome little bulb just for the movie poster. And that itself is like, people don't think about these things, like these little bulbs that they need for the specific, you know, 1800s bulb that they couldn't shoot and they couldn't find and they couldn't buy, but someone shot a picture of it from somewhere once.
Mm.
So it just makes things easier, it makes process easier, and it's totally cool. So with Adobe, they brought out 13 different artists. There were 3D creators, there were photographers, videographers, illustrators, painters, all types of different people, people who owned design agencies, who did marketing for like sunglasses and like just the coolest stuff possible. And so we all just hung out and had dinner. We like did these collaborative things and basically got to know each other at the end of the day, and that's really what it came down to. So all 13 of us are doing this program for the next 12 months or the next 11 months until we meet again at Adobe Max. And so Adobe Max is like this amazing conference where there's just like the coolest shit announced for like, you know, anything Adobe. So
and so the program you're providing, or you're trying to create stock images, mm-hmm, for them.
So not necessarily. So for me, I'm not creating stock images for them. I'm using the stock images in my photos.
Mm.
And that's where the
so
graphic
makes,
design
like,
comes
surreal.
In. Yeah.
That's dope.
Mm-hmm. So they'll have like themes for every month. So each month I'm promoting Adobe Stock and there's be a theme. So this month's theme is based on a contributing editor that they have named Fran, who was at the meeting that or the event that we were doing. So we got to know each other and everyone that we'll be using, talking to, you know, collaborating with and all that stuff. So
and all this comes with a bag.
Comes with a bag.
So are
a
we?
Heavy bag.
Are we? Hey, listen, look, all my shoulders is getting.
But that's thanks to my
bulky.
Manager.
You're doing like a seated running.
That's
man.
That's my manager.
I might could. You know what I mean?
That's my manager, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing because he picks it out. He's like, "This, you're doing this,
right?
This
is a good look. This is a good look.
Big up, big up to him.
Yeah. Can we expect to see a Swopes show of your original photographic manipulated work in Chicago soon?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. I think so. Working on something with Soho House.
Okay. Have you done a show before?
I've been in shows.
But not like a solo show.
But not a solo show. Mm-hmm. No.
It's time.
I had something with a remix project actually with Jordan Brand years ago with my boyfriend Trash, and Jimmy Butler was actually there. That was pretty nuts. He had some of our work in his house, which is
still
epic.
Yeah.
He's a good dude. But nothing individual, but this year I want something that's going to touch all the senses. I want people to be in my photo. I want people to smell it. I want them to feel it. I want them to hear it. I want, you know, like, I want them to feel something. So we'll see what happens.
Cool.
It'll be cool.
Dope.
Yeah.
So who are some of the folks that, you know, when you look around and want to be inspired, where do you go? Who do you look at? Who do you listen to? Who are you checking for?
I am, when I want to be inspired, I am checking on myself. And I'm going to be real with you and tell you what I do. So what I do is I go back and look at my old work, like really old stuff, and I find like what I don't like about it, and I'll like redo that idea and make something better. And that's literally what I do when I like don't know what I'm doing. Like when I'm lost and I'm like, shit, I'm like, I hate everything I do. Like I'm telling you, I'm like in it. And then I'll just keep scrolling. I'm like, I kind of like this photo that I did, but I didn't like this. So I'm going to like make it more smooth, and I'm going to use this app that I just found a little better.
So you like re-edit it.
Yeah. Oh. But not necessarily
redo
re-edit,
the idea,
but I'll
maybe.
Redo the idea.
That's fire.
Yeah.
That's a good ass idea.
It's a good practice.
Because it allows me
prompt.
To stay in my lane. You know what I mean? Like, because you can get so lost with a lot of things that are going on Instagram, trying to, because I've had people, especially in the early days, that were like, you need to pick up a camera, you need to do all this, you need to do that, you need to shoot portraits, you need to, you know, it's like, but I don't want to do that. I don't. So then it helps me when I'm lost and I'm not inspired by anything that's going on because I really don't actually care about it. Then I go back to my old stuff and I'm like, okay, well then that's when I feel like I'm like, oh shit, I like this. And then that's when I want to do something more to it. So,
do you have any advice for, you know, because I think young people now, and I'm 29, we're close in age,
yeah,
you know. I think like younger people, like early 20s, like teenagers, they get really lost
totally,
in like social
totally.
Media.
They do.
And I'm just, you know, do you have like any advice to kind of like, you know, about social media practices or just like, you know, how it's kind of taken over everything and not getting lost in that and pulling yourself out of it?
It's difficult when you aren't ready to be honest with yourself. But I think the biggest thing at the end of the day is just work on your mental. And that's first and foremost is just practicing healthy habits of thinking and writing and being and everything at the end of the day is a habit, and I've been learning about neuroplasticity, which is like this thing that happens in your brain where you pay attention to something so much that it creates this like kind of line of strip of like neurons in your brain, and everything that you intake is you, and it will become you, you know? So when I tell people about change, or if they want to be a little happier, you gotta intake happy shit. You gotta see happy shit. You gotta write happy shit. You gotta be corny for a little bit. Like, I hate corny shit. I do. I'm gonna be real with you. Like, I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate sappy quotes. But when I feel something, then that's when I'm gonna talk about it. I'm not gonna say it because it's not, because I think I have to say something sappy. Like, when I say some shit on Twitter or in the morning when I'm saying, like, inspiring stuff, it's like, I woke up in the day feeling like that. Like, real talk. So I just suggest people to just be honest with themselves, check affirmations, just like say things to yourself. Your words mean a lot. When you say you're sad, you will be sad. When you say you're happy, you will be happy. And I know it can, and this idea of clinical depression, I'm all there. Like I can be depressed. I have anxiety. Like I have these situations where I can't control those feelings, but I separate myself from it and make it tangible and make that emotion.
And that's hard for creatives, because a lot of, you know, creative people right. are prone to anxiety and depression.
They are.
And
they are. But they think it's them. Like, yeah. I just want people to understand that it's not. It's something that your body is doing in itself for protection. You know, it's something that, because your brain is so used to internalizing something a certain way, that's the way your body is going to react. So you just have to practice change in thinking, because your brain is a muscle. It can change. You can change. You can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, these are bars.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
for real. Yeah. one of the things that we inquire about is it, has there been anything that you have been sleeping on that you recently came to that you discovered or found out about, or be like,
music,
oh, I can't believe
TV,
I've been
book,
missing that my whole life?
Big Brother.
Okay. I did not expect that.
Like the Orwellian concept or the CBS television show?
This show.
Okay. All right.
I figured that's where we were going. Yeah. But.
Fair. Okay.
No, I mean, honestly, I think right now journaling is like something that I've totally found, if we're being honest.
So that's recent.
Yeah. Like, I think started writing in my 5-minute journal was like the biggest thing to me. Writing down like my plans for my day. Because for me, I was always like, oh, it's fine. I don't need to plan on my day. Like, I'm creative, whatever.
Yeah.
But when you start writing down like one thing you have to do that day, and that's one thing that you do, and you'd be happy if you finish it, check it off. And then that's it. And that's all you had to do for the day.
Yeah.
People have like so much stuff coming at them, and these like all these movements and all these ideas and all this stuff. It's like, just write down one thing every day and then check it, and then you're done, and that's it. Don't stress anything else. And then the next day, then you work on that one thing. You know, it's like, but people are so they're so overwhelmed that they never start. And then if you just broke it down one thing at a time, you'd be fine.
Mm.
So that's also something I've learned. It's like, not to get so overwhelmed with one thing that's so much, and just break it down a little bit.
I could tell you're a teacher. Oh. You know what I mean?
And no, dropping a lot of gems.
Yeah,
here.
Yeah, like. And for real, like I think I'm excited about that for you. I mean, I think you do that on the internets, and I'm excited for you to find the space and spaces where you do that in in real time.
Thanks.
Or continue to do that as well.
So.
No,
let's see if Columbia comes.
Yeah,
right.
Well, look, we would always host you at Young Chicago Authors for a workshop. You know what I mean?
We would love that,
of course.
Yeah, please.
Where could people find you on the internet?
At Swopes on Instagram. I've also got like 6 URLs for my website, of course, because graphic design, swopes.co or swopes.info. At Swopes on basically everything, Twitter, Instagram. I'm on Facebook, kind of, but that's just a whole other thing.
Yeah. And if a brand does want to holler at you, what's the best way?
My website. You'll go to the contact page.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Really, really instructive.
That was a great conversation.
Just really instructive.
You.
And I hope that I know a lot of young creatives in the city are listening to this and listening to you.
Thank you.
And so I thank you for dropping so many gems. We appreciate having you.
Thank you for having me and allowing me to drop those gems, because that's, I mean, I need to have the platform, and thank you for creating that. So I appreciate that.
Appreciate you.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you, DJ Exhibit, for the beat.
Langston Nelson for the logo and art.
Big up, WGN Radio. Shout out to our super producer, DJ Cash Era.
And boss man, Todd Manley.
Thank you, Dami.
And Marlena, the snack provider.
Shout out, Rena, the official photog in the corner store.
Stay up with us, Shy Corner Store, on Instagram, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
And please, y'all, please rate and subscribe on iTunes, Apple Music, SoundCloud, and wherever you listen to a podcast. Consider giving us those 5 stars.
And tell a friend.
And thank you for listening and rocking with us. We'll see you next week.